It's all in the mix. Radio Aphrodisia, Saturdays, 4 to 6 p.m. showtime. Tune in.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH, this is The Car Show, broadcasting this week and every week here on KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, for over 52 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by the greatest co-host in the world, a practicing attorney specializing in automotive law, our Orange County Bureau Chief, Motor Press Guild member, and owner of two Mazdas, Michelle Spencer.
Hey, Mark. How you doing? Good to be here with you again.
It's like I'm introducing a boxer. I should, maybe I should tone it down. Yeah. All right. But our other co-host.
When in the heavyweight ring.
We really should appreciate his presence here because he spent the entire day on airplanes, and we know how dangerous that is nowadays. Luckily, he did not have to grab the controls and land it himself when the pilot panicked, as he does usually, how he gets into LAX or wherever he lands. But we keep introducing this guy with his long curriculum vitae resume. He has worked for most automotive journalism outlets, my favorite of those being Super Street. He was executive at Kelley Blue Book. He is now executive analyst at iccars.com, owner of more cool cars than anyone we know, Carl the Power Brower. Carl, welcome.
Woohoo! And the best part of my flights today was they had nothing to do with Newark Airport. So that was a good flight.
Avoided Newark?
Yeah, okay. I avoided Newark.
They're just canceling. They're shutting down Newark, I think. They're just going to give us, say, okay, we admit it. We don't know what we're doing. That's another advantage to driving, you know? It's much safer.
Yes.
No, it's probably not safer. It's probably much more dangerous to drive. Okay, let's skedaddle because we only have 58 minutes here, and we have already used up two of them. So we're down to 56. We're going to dive right into the calendar, as we always do. And we're going to start with a show that we haven't mentioned in a while because they've been getting rained out. Believe it or not, it rains in Southern California, but it is not going to rain on Sunday. And which Sunday is it? It is Supercar Sunday, 7 to 10 a.m. on Sunday, May 11th. It is Porsche Mark Day. Now, that's not me, Mark, because I don't have, unlike Carl, I do not have a Porsche, but M-A-R-Q-U-E, because they are sponsored by Porsche Woodland Hills. So there's a direct connection there. It takes place at Pierce College, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Take the Victory Boulevard or Mason Street entrances. Don't follow your nav, because that'll put you into like the admissions office or something. And you're going to have to sign up and go back to college. Nobody wants to do that. It's in Lot 7, 6201 Winnetka Avenue, Woodland Hills, California. Pierce College is a pet-free campus. Do not try and smuggle little Woofy into the show. Supercar Sunday, May 11th, 7 to 10 a.m. Carl, this is one of your old favorite shows, this next one. Tell us about it.
Yeah, the big boys up there in the valley, right?
Bob's. Any big boy. Bob's big boy.
Bob's big boy, yes. Not Azar's or anyone else, only Bob's. But he's been doing this so long, and I always think about it because we've got other people. You guys might have heard of this guy. I think his name's Dave Kuntz or something like that. But
I vaguely remember him.
He goes he goes to that show on a regular basis. I see his Instagram posts, and every time I see it, it's like, oh yeah, I went there probably twice in a relatively short time frame, but this was in probably 95-96 when I was still living in Los Angeles County and a young energetic editorial assistant and then staffer at Super Street, as you mentioned. And the idea of driving up to Burbank, yeah, to
Burbank, California,
and the traffic that you got to fight to do that. I was ready to do it 30 years ago and enjoyed seeing all the cool American Muscle cars at Bob's Big Boy. But now I'm in Orange County and it's an even longer and bigger traffic snafu to get there on a Friday afternoon. So it just
I'll try and talk it up a little bit, okay? For goodness sake, Michelle.
Anyways.
Save us, Michelle.
To go, should go. It's awesome. Go to Bob's Big Boy. It's cool. No, if you're at all in the area, you should go.
It's Hot Rods and Muscle Cars. I was there for lunch one day with my old buddy, Alex Exidius, God bless him. And I got out of lunch at like 1 o'clock and there were people taking spots for the Bob's Big Boy drive-in in Burbank. So it is happening every Friday, not just, this next Friday, but every Friday from 4 to 10 p.m. Bob's Big Boy at 4211 West Riverside Drive in Burbank. Michelle.
Yeah, well, I was going to say it's not just hot rods because there's a guy in my Rotary Club. He has a first generation RX-7 that he calls the Beast. And he shows the Beast there regularly. Yeah. And
does
you
he call it
them.
The Beast from the East? I think that's a requirement. If you
but
have anything named the Beast, you have to add that suffix.
Next time I run into him, I'll have to ask. But his name is Joaquin Garay, and he was a kiddie actor. He was in the Herbie series as a kid.
Herbie? The Love Bug?
Yes.
That's where he got his car start, huh?
Well, that's...
Like in the movies?
That's where,
he was
in
a
movies.
Disney... He was a Disney actor. Wow.
Correct. And he's in parades and things all the time. But
with the plug you just gave him, his career will be revived and he will thank us someday.
Not at all. Yes. His Beast right now is on display if you want to see it at Mazda of Ontario. It's been in there for like a month.
That's East LA. So it is Beast from the East.
Yeah.
All right.
East LA.
Beast LA. Okay.
So you will see other kinds of cars there at Bob's.
You will. And the times I've been, they've all been hot rods and muscle cars, but I will take Michelle's word for it because she is a practicing attorney specializing in automotive law. So if I don't agree with her, next thing I know, there's a writ of habeas corpus and I am a corpus delicti. Okay, the next event next weekend, and I am going to go to this. This is if you're looking for an excuse to do a road trip, the Quail Moto Fest. Formerly known as the Quail, a Motorcycle Gathering, is a really cool show of really cool motorcycles. I don't know how many they have up there. If I said 300, that might be right. I think that's what it is. They call it the finest two-wheeled machines. We'll take over the Quail's pristine greens at MotoFest to celebrate speed, style, and craftsmanship. It's a great show. I'm going to ride up Friday, Friday, I'm going to ride up on an Indian Super Chief. And boy, golly, if you see me, if you see a big red Indian Super Chief rumbling down the road, please don't run me off the road. It's the 15th annual Quail Moto Fest. It's they're going to, in addition to all the usual classes of motorcycles, this year they're going to have three tributes. One to Bimota. Who knows how to say Bimota? Is that right?
Bimota.
Bimota, the Italian manufacturer of custom and production motorcycles, founded in 1973 in Rimini. I've been to Rimini. You guys been to Rimini?
Mm-mm.
It's on the back of the heel of the boot, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Bimota is best known for those funky front forks that stick straight forward instead of coming down from the top. There is also a tribute to Yoshimura, the Japanese maker of motorcycle speed parts. And they're going to celebrate 45 years of the BMW GS adventure bike. I think the first 45 years, that'd be 1980, if I'm doing math right. As we've proven many times, and we do every week here, none of us know how to do any math, even the simplest stuff. So I think it was 1980, and I think that was the first GS was actually raced in Paris Dakar. And I think it won the thing, if I'm not mistaken. But somebody will write in about that. To purchase tickets to this, go to the event and or just go to axs.com for information. You can contact the Quail at quaillodge.com. It's a lot of fun, and maybe I'll see you up there. If you see me, come by and say hello. But if you can't go there, Michelle has somewhere for you to go here in sunny OC.
If you want to celebrate the 60th year of Shelby in America, you need to get down here to Irvine, because on May 17th, from 9 to 1 at Segerstrom Shelby Event Center. They're going to have the Carroll Shelby Tribute and Car Show in honor of that anniversary. They're going to have all kinds of fun stuff. They always have donuts. They always have free coffee. If you want to register to show your car, it's $60. If you want to just go and watch and eat donuts and drink coffee and check everything out, it's free. Yay. For the registration proceeds go to benefit the California Fire Foundation for wildfire victims. And if you would like to register, you do not have to have a Shelby, but it's, you know, encouraged, obviously. You can register by emailing davegt500@icloud.com.
Very nice. And we talk about the Segerstrom Shelby Event Center quite a bit. We were both there, Michelle and I, on opening night. It's a really cool, it's multi-level. It's got lots of cool neon signs all over the place. A great collection of GT350s, GT500s. The founder, one of the Segerstrom family, he likes Mustang Mach 1s, and there's a lot of those. You kind of forget how cool that Mach 1 body is. Carl, you had a Mach 1, didn't you?
I had a Bullet. I never had a Mach 1, but I did have a 2001 Bullet Mustang.
Okay. Well, all right.
It was green, I hope.
It was green.
With the proper wheels.
And the proper wheels. I was tempted by the blue because I'm a big blue fan, and I was told by various people, you are not allowed to buy a Bullet Mustang and not get it in the green color. You could get blue and black. You could get blue and black too. And I was like, I guess you're right. So I did take green.
People, what's wrong with people? Okay. Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you, Michelle. Carroll Shelby Tribute and Car Show, Saturday, May 17th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Segerstrom Event Center in Irvine, 5 Watney. There you go.
Yep.
The next one is also down even farther south than that. And I'm only including it because I just love the sound of the location. SoCal Euro Spring Fest, May 17th, is being held at the Bates Nut Farm in San Diego. Now, Michelle has alluded to the fact that sometimes they transpose the first letters of those first two words in Bates Nut Farm. I'm not going to go beyond that because I have my dignity. But
it's a San Diego tradition, though.
it is. And I guess they probably have a lot of nuts there. SoCal Euro Spring Fest, May 17th. The address is 15954 Woods Valley Road in Valley Center, California. Follow Big Euro on Instagram. Their quote here is, nuts from all over the world meet here.
Bates, yeah, it's a great place. It's right off the 15. It's huge. It's just a big old park.
Great.
And with this Euro thing, I'm assuming it's European specific meet with lots of cool European cars.
There were a lot of BMWs on their Instagram feed. So I've never been to it. So I just, like I said, I just like the sound of Bates Nut Farm. Yeah. Well, where are you going? I'm going to Bates Nut Farm.
I appreciate that, you know, you're including San Diego because we do broadcast down to that area.
We hit San Diego. We go Bakersfield to Santa Barbara to San Diego and maybe beyond. Who knows? Depends on atmospheric conditions. The next big cool thing, May 18th in Riverside, is the Benedict Castle Concours. You want to make sure get out to that. That has every single kind of car you could imagine out there. It is not just one car. It's not the Euro Fest. It's not the Shelby Fest. It's everything. There's just the small sections of all kinds of cars. There are hot rods. There are the import scene, which Carl founded. We've already established that. There are American classics, the big grand classics that you might see at Pebble Beach or at some kind of, what is that? American Antique Auto Association, AAC something. Anyway, there's everything there at this show. It is for a good charity out there where they help kids get off of drugs, basically, is what they do. Benedict Castle Concours. It was founded by Nicole McGuire. God bless her. She is no longer with us, sadly. But she ran this show for, I think, the first 5 or 6 years of it. Her parents, Barry and Karen McGuire, are the grand marshals of this year's show. They're calling the show the Car Guys Car Show. So that's May 18th. put that down on your calendar. The Benedict Castle Concours, May 18th, Riverside Drive. The actual address, 5445 Chicago Avenue in Riverside. Just plug that into your laptop there, and it'll get you there. Now we're going up a little bit north for racing action, Michelle.
Actually, Paris is a little east of Riverside. So whenever I go there, I have to drive through Riverside, and then it's on the way to Hemet. But, you know.
You won't hear anybody say that.
It's off the 215, east of the 215, but not too far. So it takes me about an hour to get there when there's no traffic on the 91. So it's not too bad. So every Memorial Day weekend, Paris Auto Speedway has Salute to Indy Night, and that's on the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend. And of course, it coincides with the big race going on in Indiana. So what they do is they have a special parade with all the sprint cars right before, and sometimes they have the fireworks afterwards. So gates open at 5. You can count on it that they'll have some fun stuff, fun events. They always really bring it for presenting a great show for Salute to Indy. And it gets a lot of the race car drivers to show up from even out of state to run this race. So racing starts at 7, and you can get in there, like I say, early as 5 o'clock. And then after the races, they open up the gates, and you can go hang out in the pits, take photos, get some hero cards, whatever you want with your drivers.
Now, this is actual racing. This isn't the goofy night of destruction. This is actual racing, right?
Yes, this is for points. Paris does have their own points for certain classes for sprint cars. So, yeah, it's going to be, a slam fest out there like it always is with sprint cars, because they have a lot of power. Yeah, it's almost a half mile. Yeah.
Oh, it's not quite a half mile?
It's that's what they say, but it's not really. If you talk to the racers, it's not. But yeah, Clay Oval.
Okay, yeah. I've been there many a time, and it looks bigger than a half mile, especially when you're standing on top on the roof of the snack shack in the infield watching the racing, which is kind of hard to get to. Sit in the stands, I recommend. Insider information.
When I go, as you know, I get my little press pass from the back gate and go in that way. You have to get there early if you're going to go in the infield, because you can't just go through once they start racing.
You wouldn't get far.
They don't let you. It's all locked up. So you're either in or you're out. You have to make that decision before 7.
Okay. All right. Next event, May 25th, is one that we like. I've never been to. I want to go to. I like it just because of the name. Carcadia, held in Arcadia. Isn't that clever? Cleverness is rewarded. At least it is here on the car show. It is held the last Sunday of every month, which this month is May 25th. It's just 2 hours long, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. It is in Arcadia. The street address is 733 West Naomi Avenue, Carcadia. Don't have any idea what's out there. Maybe I'll go and check it out so that I can give an actual report here. So, we got another Michelle one. Michelle, what do we have?
We have a Cops and Cars in the Park show. And this thing's been going on for 23 years. And the official name is Still Saving Lives Car Show. And this is in Woodland Hills at Warner Center Park. And so it's going to happen on May 31st from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And this is put on by the LAPD's divisions called VTD and VTAC. And VTAC, their mission is to get into the community and promote relationships between the police and people in the community and the schools. And they work directly with the VTD, which is the Valley Traffic Division of the LAPD. So what they do is they put this on, and they have different police exhibits so that kids can come up and actually, have a positive relationship and interaction with a police officer. and check out their motorcycles and all kinds of things. But they'll also have a car show. So they're going to have hot rods, classics, and other cars there. They'll have raffles. They said they have food trucks, and they're going to have vendors. It'll be emceed by Hot Rod Bob Beck.
Who is Hot Rod Bob Beck? I've no. Is he? He's a radio personality.
He's not. He's. I think he just kind of is like a
an enthusiast.
Yes, he's an enthusiast, right. But he comes. You see him every once in a while at car shows.
All right,
and he plays music and stuff like that.
A little bit of trivia. The editor of the San Pedro News Pilot, which I delivered as a kid, was named Bob Beck, too. There you go, folks. Whoa. More information than you ever wanted.
Right.
Anything. So we're gonna skip ahead to the news section because it's 20 minutes in. We only have 58 minutes. I want to just start out saying goodbye, a final farewell to the Zimmerman Automobile Driving Museum. Last Saturday, they held a garage sale to get rid of the last of the stuff, and I went down there and checked that out. It was sad, so we bow our heads for, well, we don't have a minute of silence because we only have 58 minutes, and we can't get one over to silence because we would lose whatever audience we have right now. So we're just going to say goodbye, Zimmerman. Thank you for the for all the great events out there and putting that museum together. And you could go there and you could get a ride around in one of the old cars. It was a great idea, but
I loved
nothing.
It
was fun.
I loved it. I went there a couple times for different events. Yeah. In fact, I think I saw you there. There was a Hot Wheels event there.
Yeah, might've been. I'm sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Traveling the right circles. All right. But we have an update. Another update from our legal file for our crack attorney here is going to update us.
Yeah, I found out that the California DMV is running out of license plates using their system that they've been using since 1980. This numbering scheme, you know, it has a number at the beginning, then three letters, and then three more numbers. So the last possible plate number is going to be 9ZZZ999, and they're projecting it's going to happen by the end of this year. So what are they going to do? All right, they're going to flip the sequence. It'll start with three numbers, then three letters, then one number. And I wonder if anyone's going to try before the end of the year to get a custom plate that's 9ZZZ999. Just,
well, they are now that we've announced it. So
yes, it'll be the hot ticket now.
Yeah. And they'll say, no, I'm sorry, we can't do that because that's going to be a, you know, a regularly issued, not a vanity plate.
Oh, you never know. They'll take the money because you got to pay extra for a vanity plate. So
do you guys,
then everyone everyone will be in line at the DMV. Like, you know, they'll be trying to guess how many plates are being processed today. It's like, all right, this is the day I'm going in. It's like a lottery, you know. Can I get that plate?
Yes.
Well, I have a custom plate. I have one custom plate in my fleet on my 2023 Dodge Demon.
I don't have a vanity plate. I am vain, but I'm also cheap. I don't want to spend.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if you're cheap, you're not gonna get one.
I thought I was gonna get one. I thought this one would be really funny. I would get RDRR. Hardy, ha-ha, like ha-ha. It's like laughing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nobody gets it. So, okay, it's a good idea. Good thing I didn't get that.
Yeah.
So, or maybe, why don't you get, what would it be? 000-AAA1.
Uh-huh, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if they'd let, you know, if that would get by the censors there.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
All right. I have one on the Ocho, but it doesn't say the Ocho because that was taken.
What does it say?
It says Urban Fan because I like Keith Urban.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay. Mm-hmm. Does the IndyCar driver know that you're also a fan of, like, is he jealous?
He should be. That's Joseph.
Joseph. Yes. Joseph Newgarden. Yes. Okay. All right. We're going to move on. Thank you for that, Michelle. And Carl's, as we know, is a senior analyst at iccars.com, and they have tons of data. And Carl shifts it around, sifts it out, and comes up with some very interesting stuff. What do you have, Carl, from iccars.com?
Well, you know, last week we talked about how there are cars that are going down in value from a year ago, even though the average used car has gone up in value over the past year. And we talked about how a lot of the cars were electric, that all four Teslas were in the top 20 list of used cars that have lost the most money. So that was a bummer for Tesla, obviously, or maybe not, depending on how you feel about Tesla. But what I wanted to do is go back to that study, because there's a whole bunch of other stuff we did in it. And remember, what we did is we essentially looked at the use of cars, how much they're used versus how much they cost. So, you know, when you try to figure out how much it costs to drive a car per mile, there's a million variables that could mess with any one person: their age, their driving record, where they live, insurance rates, you know, maintenance on different cars, that kind of thing. But if you just stick with how much do you pay for the car and how much are they driven, and we have that data from all this stuff we have through our site, then you can be very simple and essentially the less a car costs and the more it's driven, the cheaper it is per mile, pretty obviously, and vice versa. So just as an example of something that's interesting is the cheapest car to drive per mile is the Mitsubishi Mirage, which averages 16,000 miles a year and only costs $18,281 when it's new. So it averages $1,119 per 1,000 miles. Every 1,000 miles.
It's a third world car, though.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And it's not that surprising. You know, the Kia Rio is the next up, and then the Chevy Spark. So you basically have the least expensive cars that are also being driven. It gets more interesting when you look at the most expensive cars to drive. For instance, the Porsche 911 is the most expensive car per 1,000 miles. Why? Because its average new car price, believe it or not, is $179,739. So it's basically $180,000 is the average price of a new 911. And the average miles it's driven per year, 2,961.
That's a crime.
So what's its cost? Remember, the Mitsubishi Mirage's cost was $1,119 for every 1,000 miles it's driven because of how many miles it's driven and how cheap it is. The 911, $60,708 for every 1,000 miles it's driven.
Wow.
Because it essentially costs $180,000 and it's driven less than 3,000 miles a year. So that just shows you, if you didn't already get a sense that if you're wealthy and you buy a premium badge car or a high performance sports car that you hardly drive, it's costing you a lot of money to buy a car that sits around and doesn't hardly get driven, but costs, $50,000, $60,000, $180,000. So, the second most expensive was the Mercedes-Benz SL. That's $59,788 per 1,000. And then the convertible 911, we broke those out, 56. The Lucid Air, $247,000. And it's driven 5,700 miles. So it's driven a lot more than the other ones that are driven 3,000, give or take. But it costs $247,000. So it's still $42,853 for every 1,000 miles that Lucid Air is driven. And that brings up the other point I wanted to touch on real quick, which is the types of fuel. So we broke it up by fuel type, and gas cars are $3,500 essentially per 1,000 miles. All the gas cars, $3,500 for every 1,000 miles they're driven. Interestingly, hybrids, because they tend to cost less, hybrids tend to be overall lower priced cars. They only cost $2,978. So they cost just under $3,000 a year versus $3,500 for gas. Plug-in hybrids are $5,000 for every 1,000 miles they're driven. Because they're more expensive, even more expensive than regular hybrids and gas cars, because they have the bigger batteries they got to pay for. EVs, $6,428, because EVs, and the numbers that give you those, if you want to know, the average new EV price, $68,692, average miles driven per year, $10,686. So they're not driven very far, but they cost the most. And
so electric cars cost the most to operate. Well, now, if I may just interject here, that's also dependent on how long you keep the car. The longer you keep it, the cheaper it gets, right? So if you kept, say somebody bought a Mitsubishi IMEV back in 2011.
And I don't know why you would do that, but
random sample.
105,000 miles on it now and powers it from solar panels on the roof of this guy's house. How? I mean, that's got to be next to nothing, right? I mean, that's like,
yeah, but at that point you're paying a whole different price. You know, it's the level of arrogance that that kind of a guy's going to have. And that's a price you never want to have to pay.
No, so you had a chance to save this guy's day.
Oh, you hurt me.
And you just went in the other direction.
Like daggers through my heart. No, it's like, you remember on Gilligan's Island, they made the bamboo car and Gilligan had to pedal it with Mr. Howell in the back seat. That is the only thing cheaper than a Mitsubishi Agnev. So, and you know, they didn't get very many miles on the island either.
Well, just so you know, this was 3-year-old cars. We were looking at the average 3-year-old car, how far it'd gone in 3 years, well, and then how much it cost.
How long do people keep their cars? We're looking, a lot of people lease cars, and a lease is typically what, 3 years, right?
3 years. So, but people are buying them out of their lease at an unusually high rate in the last couple years because they realize they can't lease a new car or buy an alternative car for any cheaper. So they buy their lease out. But yes, people are keeping their cars because a lot of people who lease for 3 years are now buying them. Plus just people, there's crazy people. I mean, there's people out there who have like, I don't know, 180,000 mile E46 325 XIs that they make their son drive that they bought for $3,800 and stuff.
Those guys,
crazy people who are driving 20-plus-year-old cars, they paid $4,000 or $5,000 for.
What's that with all that data that you have there on your screen and no doubt swimming around in your head too? How many? What's the average amount of time that the average person keeps a car? Say they either bought or leased it and then bought it or something. Do you have a figure for that?
The average car on the road is, I believe, over 12 years. And the average time that people are keeping the cars is gone up. It used to be like, I think, between 5 and 7. And now it's like 7 or no, it's like closer to 9. So yes, cars are averaging older and older. The other nice thing, the good news in all this discussion of how expensive used cars are is that they last longer. You know, you used to throw away a car at when that sixth digit turned over one, you know, and you hit 100,000 on the odometers. You were like, this is probably time to get rid of this thing. If all six digits on the odo are being used, the old mechanical odos. Now we do our longest lasting study every year. We used to do it with the percentage for each model that is likely to get to 200,000. Now we had to up it to 250 because too many cars were getting to 200,000. So people keep cars longer. They last longer. Older cars on the road keep going up and up. So
I'm just saying if the average person says keeps it for 9 years and you looked at how much it costs per mile, electric cars would be less expensive.
Well, electric car, yeah, but all of them would go down because the gas car,
they would all go
cars,
down.
Yeah, the electric,
but the electric car would go expensive. Down more.
No, it wouldn't because remember the other calculation is the miles driven. So it's how much you pay and how many miles you drive it. And because you have to charge these things, they take longer to charge. And because they have range limits that are more of a pain to deal with. Again, the average miles per year driven, hybrids, 12,924, gas, 12,355. Plug-in hybrid, 11,614, EV, 10,686.
So still a lot. It's less than average, but yeah.
Yeah,
It's not like it's 2,000 miles like that Porsche guy.
Like the Porsche. No. Yeah, it's not like that crazy and stuff. But it's just, you know, electric cars. Most people don't road trip an electric car because it's a little more troublesome than to do a gas or hybrid car.
Does that take into account the cost of gas?
No, that's the thing. Is no other cost. The only cost we looked at, average new price, and the only divider of that, average miles driven. That way it keeps it real.
Well, you're,
that keeps it real clean.
You have to look at cost of fuel because, you know, electricity is 1/7 the cost of gas per mile or something like that. Last time I did any math.
Depends on where you charge. If you're getting it from the sun, it's super cheap.
If you have solar panels on the roof of your house going straight into your, say, just for example, Mitsubishi Agnev, it's cost you nothing.
Yeah. But if you go to a level 3 charger, it's like 28 cents per kilowatt hour. And you start to look at how much you're going. It's like, yeah, I know. I mean, I know this, when I had that Ioniq 5N performance thing, it cost me $50 to fill it up. And because I have a 23 Demon 170 that I can fill up for $2.99 a gallon with E85, and that gives it more horsepower than when I put in premium for $550. $50 will fill the tank. So it was like, $50 gets me 1,000 horsepower full tank in a Dodge Challenger with 1,025 horsepower, or it gets me a full quote unquote tank in an Ioniq 5N. Yeah, but that Challenger only goes like 200 miles on that tank or less. Yeah. So does the Ioniq N after when I was driving it. So it was very telling that it's like, this is like the least, actually it's pretty earth friendly because it's running on corn fuel, but still it would be considered a terrible car by earth people. And it's like, yeah, well, it costs me as much money and it goes as far as an Ioniq N 5N.
I am reminded of the Shakespearean quote, Satan can quote scripture for his own purposes. Now, I'm not comparing you to Satan, Carl. You are driving a demon. You are driving a demon.
You can compare me to a demon. That's okay. Not okay, Satan, but a demon, that's fine.
Dodge demon. All right. Okay. Thank you for all that information, Carl. And speaking of overpriced electric cars, guess which manufacturer that we have all thought of a certain way. Guess which one is going to make an electric car after saying for decades that they would not do it? Who?
McLaren?
Didn't they say, you said Ferrari, right?
Ferrari.
Yes, Ferrari. Ferrari reports out of Maranello. It's I just like saying Maranello. Say that that the car will be able to see the whole car. Actually, it'll be in showrooms in October of 2026. Yes, indeed, folks, it is true. Ferrari is making an electric car. Now, there were reports a little while ago saying that October 9th of this year, we would see the completed car. Those reports were clarified by Ferrari that on October 9th of this year, we are going to see maybe the electric motor for the car. And then they're going to have two more reveals, you know, and I think the next reveal will be the interior. And then the final one at some point, probably in 2026, we'll see the entire car. Now, our buddies over at Car and Driver managed to put together, with the help of a professional artist, put together a drawing of that car. And I thought, hey, why not run this with my story at autoweek.com? It's never that simple. Okay, even though I looked at the contract for the drawing, it said that we can use it in perpetuity on all media, including media that hasn't been invented yet. So when one of those Star Wars, you know, holograph pops up, you could put this on that. But it turns out that it's not that simple. So you cannot see that picture at autoweek.com. You can see it at carandriver.com. But what I ran was a picture of an Italian assembly line worker looking up at a big chunk of electronics hanging on an assembly line. That's just as good as a beautiful red Ferrari.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
But I'm straying.
Compelling.
My bitterness is interrupting the news report here. So Ferrari is, they're still tight-lipped about this, but they are going to come out with an all-electric battery electric vehicle. So it's not a hybrid. There's no range extender. There's nothing. It's going to be all electric. Now, as you know, Ferrari has already put out LaFerrari was a hybrid. SF90 was a hybrid. The 296 is still a hybrid. But this one is going to be all electric. And deliveries are going to commence, as I said, in October of 2026. Now, the much anticipated Ferrari Elettrica, E-L-E-T-T-R-I-C-A, Elettrica, which I think just means electric. And I don't even know if that's the name of the car. It could just be, but now this is the same company. You know, I'm just saying they might name it Ferrari Elettrica because they called another car the Ferrari LaFerrari, which is as redundant as we're going to get. But car should be, if you look at the drawing at Car and Driver, it looks like it's going to be a crossover utility vehicle. So the Puro Sangue, of course, is sort of an SUV, although they're not calling it that. And this one will be sort of a lowered version of that. It looks like a large hot hatch. So it's coming out. And I don't know. Are you guys outraged? Should we be outraged that Ferrari's making an electric car?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I just am wondering, you know, how many pigs are going to fly over it or how many snowballs are going to fall from it and land in hell. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting.
Well, now they made an entirely new factory to build this thing in. It's also in Maranello on the north side of the existing factory. And it's going to build that. And it's also going to build hybrids, and it can build pretty much anything. It's flexible
assembly line. And it's, so they've built the factory for it, and it sounds like it's going to happen. I don't think there's a way to get away from this. And they're making so much money. What did they just announce their 2024 profits? I'm going to quote the wrong number, but I think the number that sticks in my head was $15 billion in profits for Ferrari.
How much of that is from T-shirts? I mean, come on.
I think the T-shirt business is a separate thing. But anyway, regardless, even if it is, do we have car show T-shirts? We used to have those. Maybe we could get $15
billion. Yeah, when are we gonna get our car show T-shirts? I'll put those up against a Ferrari T-shirt any day. Ours would sell just as well.
Ah, that's great. That's great. So anyway, that is the big news, and it is now time to move out of the news section and into the reviews section. And we are going to start with our buddy Michelle, who drove a very practical and sensible car. What was it, Michelle?
Well, speaking of EVs, I drove the right car for this show, I guess. I had the Honda Prologue. That's their SUV. That's an EV. It's built on the same platform as the Chevy Blazer EV. So they're very similar. So if you like the Chevy, or you're looking at the Chevy, you're shopping, you should probably take a look at the Prologue and see which one you like better. The one I tested was in this gorgeous color that they actually had a couple of cars they loaned me, Sonic Gray Pearl. And it's a bluish, grayish, very, very pretty. The one you see in the commercials for the Prologue is that turquoise blue. That's a premium color, and it's called North Shore Pearl. And I looked it up just because everyone asked me about that color. It adds $455 to the price if you want that. The one I mentioned, the Sonic Gray Pearl, is a standard color. I had the Touring Edition, and it is an all-wheel drive optional. They did have a trim level above it called the Elite that has all-wheel drive standard. This is the first SUV that Honda has put out. It's kind of hard to believe that this is the first electric SUV in their lineup, but that's it. The range on it is 281, although the EPA rated is 296. So there's a discrepancy there from the stuff I saw in the Honda stuff versus the reviewers' stuff that I looked up.
Well, EPA is a very specific number with a very specific test run. How big is the battery? Do you have that?
I don't have that. Okay. I don't know.
All right.
It's got 288 horsepower. So, you know,
that's a lot.
It's a lot, and it's a good size vehicle as far as it's just the right size to get around in the city. It's a 5-person vehicle. It's got a nice cargo space in the back, and it has a lot of really great features. In fact, you were mentioning Car and Driver had done some work on this Ferrari concept to see what it would look like. Well, Car and Driver did a comparison of this Honda Prologue EV with other class competitors, and the big two that were mostly similar were the Model Y Tesla, because it has a 200 range, but it doesn't have Google built in, and it's not even available on Teslas, right? They just don't do Google CarPlay at all. You can't get it, but it's on the Honda Prologue. And obviously the range is better on the Prologue because you're getting at least 281. That's a lot compared to 200 for your Model Y. And then the other competitor that was pretty close is the Ioniq 5. And as far as the driving range, the range is only 200 also, just like the Model Y. But the mechanicals and the handling was better, according to Car and Driver. They felt that the Prologue would come out a winner against both the Model Y and the Ioniq 5. You can also take a look at the Mach-E if you're interested in that segment. Same range as the Honda Prologue, but it's about 230, so it's a little, very comparable, but not quite the same. And then Kia EV6 is also in the same category, but the range on that's only 210. And it's, you know, a lot of people just are kind of shy of Kias. So
either way. So the Prologue sounds pretty good in its class.
Yeah. And it actually, Carl was saying that the average car price for an EV is $45,000, right? Well, this is right in.
Higher. No, it's like $58,000. So
I think you said $68,000 was the average price.
Actually, yeah, I think it is
$68,000. But that includes everything, you know, from
right. You got Taycans and Teslas and Lucid Airs and all that.
Yeah,
Lucid
Air Sapphires.
Well, you can get into a Prologue that there's three trim levels. The EX starts at $47,700. And it gives you a wireless charger. It has great technology in it. It has steering assist, and it has a lot of nice features for $47,700. The mid-levels, the Touring, which is $51,700, that'll get you upgraded to some leather seats and Bose audio system, parking assist, other things that are plus what you get in the EX. And then the top level is the Elite. That you can get for $57,900, and that'll have your standard all-wheel drive. It'll have 21-inch aluminum alloy wheels, heated and ventilated front seats, and a really nice head-up display. So that's, you know, the Prologue is a great car. I think Honda's going to be very successful with it. It's in its second year now. Yeah, I don't think they made any changes from 2024 to 2025.
Okay.
And I could not figure out where it was built. So I can't offer anything on that as far as whether.
Yeah, because that'll make a sort of a big difference, right?
Yeah. Now. If it's made in Japan, yes. For now, as things are today, yes, that would make a difference.
Okay.
But you know what? If they send it over to the UK to get shipped to the US, then they could bypass all that.
It is assembled at General Motors Ramos. I'm saying this wrong. Arizpe plant in Mexico. So that is, it's imported, but it's, you know, North America, and maybe they'll work out a deal. They just worked out a deal with the UK.
Yeah, so, that's what I'm saying. Like, all those European manufacturers are like, you know, blasting champagne right now because all they have to do is send it over to what's the shipping port over there?
In the I don't know where are the Beatles from?
Well, Liverpool. Yeah, exactly. Liverpool. That's
Liverpool.
It.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and the fact that the final assembly in Mexico qualifies the Prologue for the $7,500 federal EV tax credit.
Exactly.
Which is it still around? Who knows? Is that still here?
It is still for
around.
Now.
Yeah.
Last week was saying it would be gone by last Monday.
Right.
So
yeah, that's what I was hearing. I don't know. We'll see.
I was watching because Carl had brought that up and I'd never heard anything. So it's still intact as far as we know. But
all right,
check, you know, when you're going to buy something, you need to check these things.
Yeah, check them out.
Oh, and speaking of this, I'm sorry to do this, but there's a lease deal, too, on these right now. You can get, if you go to Honda.com, you'll see that there's a lease starting at $359 a month for 36 months. And all you have to put down is $3,999.
That sounds reasonable.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty good deal. I'd lease it.
That's a three-year lease, huh?
Yeah.
It's probably a good idea to lease an electric car anyway. I mean, that's a whole other subject that we could talk about because battery technology keeps getting better. Everything keeps getting better at the end of 3 years. You know, nobody wants to be stuck with, say, a Mitsubishi Imia 14 years old.
I don't think that would be pot. Nobody would do that to themselves.
Nobody would do that. But
all right.
Anyway,
okay, that's it for me, Mark. Thank you.
So two thumbs up for the Prologue from you. Is that two wrenches up to
two wrenches up
from Michelle on the Prologue, and thanks to Honda for letting us borrow that for a little bit.
Yes.
Let's move from an electric car to a plug-in hybrid electric car. I had, and we'll get to you, Carl, for your car. Your car's coming next. But I had two BMW M5s. I had the regular sedan and I had the Touring. And boy, golly, am I ever lucky. The price, let's start right off the top. It's about $125,000. You know, I think it's $2,000 difference between the Touring. The Touring, when I say Touring, is the wagon. So the wagon is back, baby, and better than ever. Now,
everybody seems to want to bash this thing for weighing too much. But it only weighs a little bit over 5,000. You can't get, it's hard to get an actual curb weight on this thing, a little over 5,000 pounds. But as we have learned, Carl is grasping his chest as if feigning a heart attack at that number. But what we have learned is that so many of these big, heavy things, a lot heavier than this, twice as heavy as this. I'm thinking of the, what was it? The GMC
Hummer.
The Hummer EV pickup truck that I drove was close to 10,000 pounds and probably 10,000 with, you know, a motorcycle in the back and a couple other things. It was well over that. And yet it accelerates like crazy. These M5s, it's a plug-in hybrid electric. Let's just get to the bare bones, get that out of the way really quick. 717 horsepower from a 4.4 liter V8 attached to an 8-speed automatic. It's not a dual clutch. It's a torque converter automatic. 717 horsepower and by goodness, 190 miles per hour for the sedan. If you get the M-Drive package, which only costs $2,500, it says I'm spending your money, get that package is what I say. Has adaptive dampers. Mine, both of them had carbon fiber brakes, an $8,500 option. Those, both of those cars, the Touring gets 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds. The sedan gets 0 to 60 in 3.0 seconds. Now, the advantage of this being a plug-in hybrid is that you can go 25 miles on pure electricity in both of the cars. They're rated for 25 miles of EV driving in all electric mode. And I have proved that out with both cars. I was able to go that far, just about exactly that far in all electric mode. So you can stealth, you can sneak around the city. You can sneak into the driveway if you're coming home late one night. It's got pretty much everything going on for it. But the cool thing is it has a drift mode. So you can set up your M-Drive, those two red buttons on the steering wheel. You can program them however you want. So you can program it for all rear-wheel drive, and you can drift this thing. So imagine taking the kids to school in this and pulling into the, you know, the Montessori school there sideways. Wouldn't that be fun? You can do it in this car. Now, I was thinking, would I want the long roof Touring or would I want the sedan? I'm more of a sedan guy, so I would get this. But who am I kidding? I don't have $123,275. But it has, did I mention it has drift mode? What do you think, guys?
Oh, yeah.
I think you better be careful when you're drifting 2.5 tons. But that's just me.
It's all-wheel drive, too. So you can't. I just had so much fun in this thing. It was a BLAST blast. So anyway, okay. Now, Carl, I promised you that you could talk about your Kia Sorento. The floor is yours. I yield my time to the gentleman from somewhere down in Orange County.
It's all the same. Don't worry. Once you cross that curtain, it's all the
same.
Right. You don't have to specify. Plug-in hybrid technology is my favorite technology. I love, love, love it. I was never as big a fan years ago because the idea of putting two drivetrains in one car, whether it was the added weight, the complexity, the cost. But the thing is, all those things keep getting better. They keep getting simpler. The battery packs are getting lighter. The motors are getting crazy. They're like the size of like a dinner plate now for some of the motors on these high-end vehicles like the McLaren Artura. And they don't add that much cost too. So I've gone from not being a fan of plug-in hybrids or hybrids in general 15 years ago to being huge fans of them because you can get these all electric ranges and drive like an electric car. And then you don't have range anxiety. If the range runs out, you don't even notice. Just keep going. Engine fires up, on you go. So I do think plug-in hybrids are the best of all worlds, certainly in today's technology level. And I'm a huge fan of the Toyota Prius Prime, because it starts at $34,000 for the base model. That's all you need. And I think about what you're getting and what you're paying for that $34,000 Prius Prime. It's fabulous. But if you need more than 5-passenger capacity and or more cargo capacity, you buy the Kia Sorento plug-in hybrid electric vehicle. It's my favorite non-Prius PHEV because you still don't have to pay too much. The price jumps a lot from the $34,000 on the Kia Sorento hybrid. It goes to $49,000 for the EX trim and $54,000 for the SX Prestige.
top line version of the PHEV.
So you're up in the territory of the Honda Prologue, all electric for a price of a PHEV.
And yet you never have range anxiety when you drive this one.
That's okay. All right.
And it'll go 32 miles on pure electricity, and then it'll go hundreds of miles as a hybrid and still get very good MPG, like 33, I think, or 35 MPG. And this is a three-row hybrid. It's got more capacity than some other vehicles out there, other SUVs. And it's fast still. It makes good horsepower, and it's pretty quick. So I'm just a huge fan of PHEVs because I feel like there's essentially no downside except a little more upfront cost. But as Mark has noted, if you have a home charger, especially if you use solar panels to power your home charging system, and you're only driving, a lot of the EV people will be like, on one hand, they'll yell and say, why is everyone so hung up about EV range? The average person only goes less than whatever, pick the number they choose, 25, 35, 40 miles on a day. And I always say, you're right. So why not get a PHEV with somewhere between 30 and 40 miles? Now you get that EV thing that keeps the planet from being killed, but you never have range anxiety when grandma, your pet, your neighbor, something goes wrong, and all of a sudden you got to go 300 miles in the next 20, next 24 hours or the next, hours.
May I just ask, what emergency requires a 300-mile drive?
Your grandmother who lives in San Francisco calls and says, I've fallen and I can't get up, or my hip's broken and I'm in the hospital and you have to come help me right now. And Mark says, I could get there, Grandma, in the IMEF, but it's going to take 3 days between driving.
Grandma's on her own if it's the IMEF. But with fast charging, Carl, with fast charging, you can get, you can get. I don't know. You can get anywhere with fast charging.
That's what they say. We'll at some point we'll do a show on my Ioniq 5N. Besides the cost, that $50 when I finally got to a charger that was working was the fun of finding a working charger. And I'm in South Orange County. It's electric car heaven down here. And I was in purgatory trying to get my thing charged.
No, yeah. I will agree with you on that. The charging infrastructure is terrible. The cost per kilowatt hour on a level 3 charger used to be 49 cents. Last couple of times I tried it was like 68 cents or something. Of course, maybe that doesn't vary depending on time of day, and you cannot get one that works. I had good luck with ChargePoint. We have less than a minute to go here. So I think we're all agreed that the charging infrastructure is not yet there. I'm more of an EV guy. I don't know why. I can't explain myself, and I don't even have the time to do it. We are just about out of time. Michelle, do we have a Facebook page somewhere?
Yeah, we do. If you'd like to give us a like or a follow, go to The Car Show on KPFK 90.7 FM on Facebook.
Thank you. And stick around for Rhapsody in Black. Great music that you didn't know you loved. Jim Dawson and Ray Ragalato are hosting that. 2 hours of great music. And for now, we are going to say thank you to Carl for making the supreme effort to get into the show no matter what. He came in, straight from the airport. Thank you, Carl. We want to thank, of course, in the studio, all the guys helping out there. And we want to say, come back next week on The Car Show.
If you don't already know about it, it's really time to discover KPFK. KPFK is community radio from Southern California, powered by people like yourself for over 62 years. It's part of the completely unique Pacifica Network, and our listener sponsors are passionate. We've routinely heard them say things like,
it is the best source of news that I know of.
The thing that distinguishes Pacifica from the rest of the media landscape is our funding model, listener sponsorship. It allows us to speak to what really matters in our listeners' lives. So why not become a part of this impassioned community? Make a pledge. With your generous continuing support, KPFK is committed to serving the vast and diverse communities of Southern California and beyond. So please, make your pledge now at kpfk.org or call 818-985-5735. Thank you.
We are Support comes from the Wildgear Theatricum Botanicum in Topanga, presenting a new musical play by Peter Alsop, Ebenezer's Makeover, for Topanga Disaster Relief and LGBTQ+ Awareness. It runs two nights only on Friday, May 9th and Saturday.